Hello, everyone. Let's get the chat going. Exit the full screen. I don't love this light. Let me brighten it up a little bit. That's all right. How's everybody doing? Oops, let me see the participants. So we already got a raised hand. Awesome. Let's see, participants. Okay. Y'all say hi in the chat and let me know if you can hear me through this microphone because I finally got a like an adapter for my laptop. And I oh good, y'all can hear me good. And so now I can finally use this microphone again. So awesome. Awesome. Hello, everyone. Rhonda, I don't see your hand raised. I see Ala or Ala. Let me get her on here and we will get started. But you all, oh, and we've got Sonia next. So if y'all want to raise your hand, just get in line and we will get this going. Thank you, Tina. New bangs, y'all. It was fun to get that done today. Why not, right? It's just hair. So, okay, let's get going. See what y'all got to say tonight. Hi, let me unmute you. Hi there.
Hello, can you hear me?
Let me turn you up a little bit. How do you pronounce your name?
Oh, you got it right. It's Ala.
Ala. Okay, I love that. All right.
Yeah, thank you. Great. Well, I'm very excited to be on. This is my first coaching, and I was working. I just joined in. Feels like a couple of months ago, but a couple of weeks ago now, right?
A couple of weeks. It seems like a couple of months ago.
It feels like a couple of months. So I was working from home. I work from home 2 days a week. So all day today, I actually did my first TDL. And I've been resisting for some reason, you know, because I've been a groupie since August. And I'm 1 pound away from Queen's Club at this point. So I'm hoping, by the way, in Friday, yeah, I'll be there. So, but the whole journaling and recovery worksheets, I did already the full course. Of course, the first 2 days I did the full course. So I've been listening to it over and over again. I'm one of those people. And I've just been really resisting in my head to do recovery worksheets. But I did do one a couple of days ago and I did one last night. And what I want to focus on today is really last night and my overeat. And I beside the recovery worksheet, I also did a thought download. So what's specifically happening right now for me is I'm interviewing for a new position at another company. And it's actually a company I used to work for before. And what I've noticed is that, so I am very open person. I'm very optimistic person. I'm direct person. People, I'm short, but I'm tough. You know, so that's the persona people, if you were to ask somebody to describe me, that's what people describe me as. But on the inside, especially at moments such as job interviews, it's very hard for me to talk about myself from my achievements perspective. I get very emotional. Sometimes I cry during interviews. It's very odd. And I get very, very insecure. Most of the time, I'm qualified, if not overqualified for the positions. But I get very insecure. So yesterday, I had a phone interview for this new position, and it's a promotional opportunity. It's pretty high level. So I had a phone interview with the recruiter last week, and yesterday I had a phone interview with a hiring manager. And the minute I hung up the phone, I started with, in my head, you know, I got very overwhelmed and anxious, and I started with, well, you screwed that one up. All of my insecurities, every time, it just, no matter how much TDLing I'm doing, no matter how much of thought work I'm doing, and I've made a lot of progress over the last 6 months, just really recognizing why I overeat, because this has been obviously a lifelong issue for me. And I've been so great at having all these other great achievements in my career and my personal life, but my weight has always been that one that I just can't seem to hold off. I lost 80 pounds 3 times now in my lifetime, most recently rehab from Weight Watchers. And obviously, you know, I believe in this program, and the work I'm already doing with my head is so different. But it was just so kind of scary a little bit today of how all of those insecurities yesterday after the phone interview just rolled back, and I have a 45-minute commute. And in my mind, I was going, well, this will definitely, you know, in the past, will make you overeat, right? And in my mind, I'm convincing myself why I shouldn't. And I'm listening to the podcast, and I'm doing very well. But after dinner, I still went a little crazy with the food. And when I was TDLing today, I had a 5-hour window when I was resisting, you know, reacting to all my feelings, and I still gave in. So I just, and I know this is like a long description, but that's one of my issues, is I'm too detailed and I can't seem to. that's one of the things I was worried about yesterday. Okay. But that's, I kind of, you know, I don't know why all those insecurities always come back. Okay. And then obviously the fact that for 5 hours I was able to resist and not, you know, I obviously was not feeling well, you know, about it, mm-hmm. how it went. But I still ended up eating off my plan last night.
Yeah. So you were probably, you said you were resisting, right? And that's like, you know, that white knuckling we talk about where it's just, you know, and that's what really doesn't work for you long-term, to resist the urges to eat. You want to actually practice allowing them. But okay, let's kind of back up a minute and go back to, are you familiar with the model at all?
Yes.
A little bit? Okay.
Sounds yes. Cool. I haven't done one yet.
Work your, I mean, and you can tell me kind of what you came up with in your TDL and stuff too, in terms of, so your feeling is insecure, like when you have an interview, right?
So yes.
C is your interview. And the feeling is insecure. So what is the thought that's going on there?
That well, yeah, and my feeling of insecureness comes after the interview, and okay, and then and specifically, I feel the worst if it's a phone interview, which this one was. I feel I'm very engaged in person, and I typically do very well, and I have a lot of confidence in person. And when, you know, I'm a visual person, mm-hmm. I'm a visual learner. I need to be able to see the person. It helps me to kind of feel calmer. But phone interviews are just the worst. So, and that's what this one was, because you can't really gauge their reactions. You just kind of going off that silence. And then she asked a couple of clarifying questions, which always right away, I get very defensive, almost like kind of, well, I must have screwed it up in my explanation for her to ask a clarifying question. So okay, it's really so, after that, I feel deal. All this insecurity.
So here's the deal with, you know, you, some people see phone interviews as much easier than in-person interviews, mm-hmm. right?
So right.
Definitely your thoughts about this phone interview that are causing this insecurity, because it's not like everyone, you know, hates phone interviews. Some people right. prefer them. So you were saying, you know, I prefer visual. What else were you saying about?
Well, I screwed it up.
I screwed it up.
Yeah. And really, I think what for me, I keep going back to is she asked a couple of clarifying questions.
Yeah.
And my issue is that I'm very detailed and very thorough, which is very positive in jobs that I do, which is why I excel. But I've had that feedback before in interviews when people ask clarifying questions, and I automatically go with, why, you know, it's your fault, my fault that I'm so thorough. You were too detailed. And that's where I get insecure. I mean, she didn't say you suck at the end, I'm never going to call you again. But
people have given you that feedback, but then you've excelled anyway.
Right.
Right?
Right. And it's actually very positive, because all the jobs that I do, that it's a strength of mine to be thorough and detailed. But I always feel like, I don't know why I get defensive when somebody asks a clarifying question, almost like I must not be doing a good job explaining myself. And then I get insecure, and then I just start thinking, kind of jump off the cliff. You know, I start right. going with, well, it's over. You screwed it up. You know, you should be more prepared. So I start really, I guess, fat girl thinking mm-hmm. on the interview, you know, kind of like really shitting on myself.
Right.
And that's
right.
where, like, it all starts snowballing.
Right. And you were saying, like, you know, why does this keep happening, or you know, why do these thoughts come back? And that's because you've just practiced them over and over again, right?
Yeah.
And you right. know, and that's what the, you know, that's the power of the model and the TDL, is that we can work on changing those.
Okay.
And so did you do a recovery worksheet for this?
I did.
Okay, so
I did. Let's do one.
And then let's find out what you learned from your recovery worksheet. So you had an overeat kind of after resisting it for a while, right?
Yes.
And then you had the overeat. And so your result is that you did, I mean, you kind of screwed up your plan, right?
Right.
You were kind of thinking, because you know, the result always goes back up and proves the thought true. So you were like, well, I screwed up the interview. I might as well screw up, you know, my plan and everything.
The rest of my day.
Rest of my day. Right. Okay. So what did you learn in your recovery worksheet?
I don't know if I do this right, but my thought download on the whole thing was almost like replaying the movie, you know? And then I'm like, this was my first one. So I'm like, should I be like now progressing with my thinking today, the day after, like, you know, the postpartum kind of the day after, or should I be like regurgitating what I was thinking yesterday? And I felt it was better, you know, the 5 hours where I didn't eat.
Yeah.
I guess I use the word resisting, but I was just thinking about it a lot.
Okay.
You know, because I really could have, you know, in the past, when I feel that way, I could have totally be like, well, it's not 5 hours. The minute I get in the car, I'll just stop at McDonald's, mm-hmm. eat something. And that it's almost like it's hard for me to feel insecure. So I'd rather sabotage myself with food so then I could feel bad about that instead of feeling bad about the interview.
Oh yeah.
And how I feel about the interview. So I don't know if that's like what I really, at the end of the day, what I end up doing, but right. for the, you know, few hours where I didn't eat and I came home and I had my dinner, and through the dinner, I'm sitting here, I'm going, stop is satisfied. You know, you had enough. And it's almost like I was thinking positively, saying you could do this. Mm-hmm. And just the minute I sat down where I had nothing to do and the TV was on, that's the minute I got up, went to the kitchen and started. So when I'm busy, if I kept being busy through the end of the night, I think I wouldn't have get off my plan, because I was fine.
If you could have done that, if you could have just kind of processed what happened ahead of time, right? Before you decided to overeat. I mean, if you had just said, we kind of call this pausing the model, where you after your phone interview, you think all these thoughts and you get really insecure, but then at that feeling line, you're like, well, wait a minute, I'm going to figure out, you know, some new thoughts to think and some new feelings to feel so that I don't end up overeating.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I was thinking about is, you know, in the recovery worksheet, like what would I do next time and what I learned?
Yeah.
Because writing it down, and my whole issue why I wasn't writing in TDL for the last 6 months, even though Corinne has been talking about it, is I'm very afraid. So how I describe myself to you is how people see me, and what goes on inside is what I don't let anybody else see. And I'm learning all this 6 months in, right? I'm like, wow, that's why I eat, because I don't let all of the insecurities like normal people have out. I don't like to put my burden on other people. I view that as burdening somebody else. So if things bother me or whatever, I'll just keep it in and then I eat. So obviously that's not good. So what
well,
I learned from my,
I mean, you are certainly not alone in that. I mean, that is the issue of so many of our members who, they're busy taking care of everyone else. They're busy, you know, working and living their lives. And they, like you said, don't want to burden anyone else with what's really going on inside. And so, you know, you cover it up with food. You know?
Yeah. And I'm almost afraid to put it in writing, not mm-hmm. because I think, oh, my husband is going to find it and read. And, you know, we've been married 12 years. He really should know me, because I do show him some sides of me. Right. But I do really good job. I'm a control freak to control, you know? So I'm kind of afraid of if he reads my TDLs, not that he would, but I'm really afraid to put it on paper. So this yesterday really pushed me to, I don't care about that anymore. I just really need to write, and it really helped. So I think what I learned is that I'm just going to keep writing.
Yes.
If he finds it, that I'm not going to be anxious and worry about the ifs. If it happens, I'll address it, you know, but that I think was always been my fears, that really let people see or let it verbalize of why I do what I do and how I kind of, you know, take it all in to protect everybody. And I think the habit is because I want to protect everybody, and I don't protect myself, obviously, right. And hence why I keep having this issue.
And it's everybody's problem. Own responsibility to protect themselves, right?
Right.
It's like,
right.
It's not your job to protect other people by, you know, kind of sacrificing your own mental health or your own, you know, emotional health and stuff. Like, you know, it's up to you to take care of you. No one else is really, you know, no one else is going to do it for you ultimately. So it's, yeah. So we have a lot of women who talk about they're afraid to do thought downloads because they're afraid someone might find mm-hmm. them and read them. So if you want to, you know, you can use some sort of electronic format. You can literally mm-hmm. like write it out and then throw it away or burn it or whatever mm-hmm. you want to do. But really the power in the TDLs is, you know, the actual power of writing. Corinne was talking about this last night, I think. Like, it gets your brain, you know, mm-hmm. doing something different where, you know, it actually kind of processes it different. And when you see it on paper, sometimes you can, you know, see it and realize that it's just, it's not true, you know, whatever thoughts are going through your head. Like, you know, you don't know if you screwed it up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like,
right.
You have all this evidence from the past that you know, do very well in interviews and because you've, you know, done very well in your career,
right.
Like that. So just getting it out of your head and onto paper can just be so powerful in a bunch of different ways. So,
yeah. And I was actually listening to Corinne this afternoon after I did my recovery worksheet. And that's what drove me to do the TDL.
Yes.
Because I was still processing yesterday.
Yes.
And honestly, I really wasn't processing the overeat, more processing why I overeat. Right.
Right.
And I kind of wanted to rethink the interview and have a better, I know you know, we're allowed thoughts, we're allowed feelings, but it's like that forceful positive versus these are all the negative thoughts that come into my brain and can I rethink them? And that's why I TDL'd and I'm like, screw it, I'm just going to do it. And I was listening to her and she said, put it in the writing. And I did. And what I learned really is next, you know, when that comes up, it would have been helpful yesterday for me to TDL instead of eat.
Yes.
And do it in that moment because I was TDLing in my brain. I wasn't writing it down. And I'm all about like holding people accountable. If it's in writing, cover your butt, put it in writing. So I think actually I'm very hopeful that with my personality and that drive that I like things to be in writing,
yes.
Maybe it'll help me hold myself accountable yes. then. Next time,
well,
you know.
I just have to say, I mean, I'm super proud of you for doing this, you know, after you've been, you know, kind of resisting it or avoiding it for so long. And then I'm proud of you for getting on here and talking about it too, because they, you know, we have members who were in the same position that you were, where, you know, they're afraid to write anything down. They're afraid to, you know, to speak out about what's going on. And, you know, everyone deserves to, you know, just kind of be heard by themselves. I think that's kind of what I'm trying to say. Like, mm-hmm. you know, just to explore themselves and learn more about themselves and why you do what you do and, you know, why you choose different things and just to work on getting better and to, you know, improve yourselves and improve your lives. So you're doing great. You're exactly where you need to be.
Awesome. Well, I was very excited, you know, to be in the tribe. And then I said, as part of our membership is we get coaching, and the fact that I didn't cry the whole time during the conversation with you, I show you my side that I show other people.
Okay.
But I also know myself, and this is very personal. I typically like just bawl, but that I'm very happy because I don't say it because I think crying is bad. I don't at all, but my resilient personality, that means I'm okay. I'm okay already. I'm kind of moving on at this point, which is really good, because if I didn't have this structure and you guys and your support, I would have just been stuck for days.
Right.
And this is in this process, the hiring manager did tell me I'm one of the first people she's interviewing because I used to work for this company before. So it'd probably be 2-3 weeks before, you know, even probably longer knowing the process before they even get to the next phase for me
right.
to even know if I'm in or not. So I would have been beating myself up and getting
right.
anxious and having stories in my brain to make it worse and kind of like rewriting it even worse. But I'm going to just move on. And if I hear back, great. You know, when I hear back, either way, and then I'll just proceed from there.
So what did you learn from your recovery worksheet? Like what you would do differently in terms of thinking differently about after the interview?
Well, I mean, I wrote that I would TDL, I guess. I really did. I wrote anything different that I would think different, but
okay.
I was actually very surprised of how much fat girl thinking I really did here, because one of my other mantras is that I am not a victim. And when I hear that from other people in my family, that's actually the other thing about me, right? They're like, you're so resilient, nothing ever bothers you, because I feel like you take ownership and you move on, you know, and with your life. Right. So when I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm such a victim. Like all my TDLing was just like, everything was like, I screw it up and I just fail. And why am I so bad? And why can't I be prepared more? And it was just the on and on and on. And it's not who I am, but to put it in writing and then to see it, I think that's even so eye-opening, that how much of that I do think. Yeah, when I did the course, I didn't think I do. Honestly, when I did the Fat Girl Thinking mm-hmm. course the first time, I was like, well, I don't really do that, because I don't really stand in front of the mirror and say you're fat, or I really don't do that. You know, of course I want to lose weight and I want to feel better and I want to be healthy, but that's not the first driver that I look in the mirror and say this and this and this. But it's a different kind of fat girl thinking, I guess I do about things that I perceive a weakness that I have.
That negative self-talk that you're doing with, you know, I screwed it up. I must have done something wrong because you asked me this question. So what I want you to do for your homework after this, to really kind of take yourself back to when you like hung up the phone with her, and like, you know, what thoughts you had, but then what, you know, what could you have done where it's like, no, I'm not thinking that way. I'm not, you know, that I don't know that that's true or not. And what else could you think instead?
Okay.
Yeah. So just kind of, you know, open up your mind to that.
And
when I think this, I screwed it up. What could I think instead that would, you know, not lead me to, you know, ultimately overeating. So
yeah. One of the things I think right away, I would say, if, just because somebody asks you a clarifying question doesn't mean you're not articulating your point. Maybe that's their, you know, it's them, you know, not you necessarily, or they just want to make sure, because I do that a lot. I confirm things a lot too. Yeah. So then I should think about, well, does that person feel like they're screwing it up because I just like to confirm, or if I hear you right, then I just want to make sure I understand. That doesn't mean they're screw up. So maybe I should think about it the same way about myself.
Right.
And give myself a break a little bit. Okay.
Yes. Give yourself a break. Give her a break. You know, give them a break. Just
give them up.
You know, everybody's just doing the best they can.
So, got it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right. You're doing
well. Thank you so much, Betsy. Bye. I appreciate it. It's very helpful.
Take care.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Sonia, we got a good little lineup here. Hello? Hello, can you hear me? Sonia, are you there? I don't see or hear you. Let's see. Is anybody else having trouble hearing me? Sonia, I'm going to take you back to... you sound fun to me. Thank you. I'm glad I sound fun. I know you meant fine. Not sure who that was, but okay, Sonia, I'm going to take you back and see if you can maybe adjust some settings or something and get back in line. We should have time for you. Okay. Cause I cannot hear Danielle. Danielle can get on here.
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. What's going on?
So I'm a newbie. I just got in, I think, the January time, so a couple weeks ago. And it's been really interesting to me since I actually work from home. I'm an online marketer. So the personal development field I've been in for a while. However, this health journey has been like an interesting one to try and work through. And one of the questions that keeps popping up in my mind is, since so much of what I do is obviously online, and I have to, I mean, a lot of my business is learning more trends, learning for business, but also I'm trying to schedule time and, you know, learn more about PMP, learn how to take time to journal, not only for my business, but for health. And I'm wondering, you know, how do you balance it? How do you go about that? Because I want this to work. I want to make this the last end all be all for me, but I'm trying to find that balance.
Okay. So what, like, kind of what is your plan right now? What do you do kind of on a daily, weekly basis in terms of PMP stuff?
Yeah. So what I usually do is on Sundays and then Wednesdays and Thursdays are when I watch the actual modules themselves. And then Sundays I do a quick weekly plan as I looked up on the Facebook for the daily post, and that helps me out because I can get perfectionist syndrome where I'm like, it has to be great and everything. And that's usually where it kind of falls downhill. Mm-hmm. So for me, whenever, like today and yesterday, I was back-to-back calls. Like for the last 6 hours, I've been in calls. And that makes it hard, obviously, to go eat. And whenever I have time to eat, it's more like I need to consume stuff as much as I can to get to the next point. So I'm having a difficult time with not the 2-to-2, but being more aware of it, you know? Because, like, when I'm getting off of calls, my brain's just like, calling it a day. So I'm trying to figure out that area.
Okay. So I see a couple of things going on. First off, you mentioned kind of the perfectionism and stuff, because it sounds like you've got a pretty good plan in terms of like how you're consuming the information and like, you know, what you need to be doing in terms of the basics and stuff. And then you've got some time scheduled and some time committed to like, you know, some extra stuff in terms of, you know, watching calls or whatever. So are you good with that?
Yeah, definitely good with information. Information has always been my friend. So I'm good with keeping that.
So, but you mentioned the perfectionism. So where is that coming in terms of exactly what you're needing to work on? Is it? Is it the food? Actually the eating awareness?
To give a little bit of a backtrack, my journey with like health has been very not interesting. It's probably common for a lot of people, but my biological mom passed away when I was 9 and my stepmom passed away when I was 17 from cancer. And right around that area, I realized how much I weighed, which was 7 years ago. I weighed like 60 plus pounds. Mm-hmm. And through like kickboxing, trying every diet in the world, like as everyone does, I was able to get off 50 pounds. However, in the last 3 years, I put almost all of it back. Mm. And a lot of that comes down for me, I think, through binge eating. Like, you get me in front of, like, a long day, I go to a grocery store, and, like, my first thing is, like, Reese's or something like that. And although I know what I should be eating, like, that's what kind of screws me up, too. Is like, I know to lose weight, I need to, eat more protein or eat this certain way. But I also know that if I do that for a couple days, it'll like trigger like a binge, or it'll trigger like me wanting to like consume a lot of like Reese's or, you know, calories.
So what do you think? So what is the thought going on there with, you know, kind of when you say it's a trigger, what thought is triggering you to want to overeat?
Definitely as a reward. Mm-hmm. Like, cause for me, I have that happen a lot where it's usually at night, mm-hmm. like in the morning, you know, I can eat fine lunch. If as long as I get it in, I'm good. But usually at night, especially after a lot of calls or even a stressful day, like that's the first thought is I am rewarding myself. I deserve it. Like that's a big one.
Okay. So why do you think you deserve it?
I do so much work, like for my business and for my clients, that it's what I've used so much as like my reward, because I don't really drink. I don't really go out. Obviously I do so much work online, but that's kind of been my a reward, or like, you know, giving back to myself.
So, but isn't your paycheck your reward for all that work?
Yes.
So that's kind of what you could think about it, right? It's like, sure. You know, it doesn't have to be food. It doesn't have to be, I mean, you know, you're getting paid for your work. It's not like you're donating your time, right?
Yeah.
And so kind of think about that in terms of, you know, you really don't deserve anything more than what you're getting in terms of your paycheck. So, are you familiar with the model at all?
Yes, I haven't done, like, I've done a little bit of it. I haven't gone through the whole thing. I know what the circumstance thought and stuff does mean.
Okay, okay. Well, and I can kind of talk it through with you, too. I don't want to awesome. Do a model, you know, for everybody, just because I know y'all are, some of y'all hadn't got to that module yet. But, so, your thought is, let's say, like, it's in the evening, right? Like, after?
Yeah, it's usually almost always around, like, nighttime.
Okay. So, I deserve it is your thought.
Mm-hmm.
What is the feeling there that leads you to overeat? When you think I deserve it, how does that feel?
It's like a weird sense of exhaustion and empowerment. Like, I feel like, oh, I'm gonna, I get this, I win this. I feel like I'm excited. Yeah.
Yeah, excited. And like maybe, you know, the day hasn't been super exciting in terms of all.
Definitely. Yeah.
Looking for some excitement, justified might be another one. I mean, you know, you're looking for a good reason to do this, right?
Yes.
And so then you overeat. And then what is the result that you.
I mean, gain weight, feel lethargic an hour later, you know I shouldn't have eaten that type of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, yeah. Weight gain, you know, and so it's like, when you think I deserve something, it's, I mean, and you think of it as a reward,
mm-hmm.
you know, but this stuff down here is not.
No
reward. I mean, rewards are, should be pretty good, right? In terms yeah. of, you know, something that you're really wanting. And it's just that very temporary, you know, high or whatever you want to call it with the food.
Oh
so,
yeah.
So how do you think you want to kind of work on this?
Well, that's something that I've kind of run into a roadblock is, I know, I think even Corinne talks about it, how to find like different things outside of eating that give you pleasure. And I've had a hard time with that, to be honest, because for me, workouts, like, I like working out. I don't find them as a reward, though. Like, they're fun. Like, I appreciate them, but I don't seek out. I'm not like, I'm going to win the day, like how you feel with like races. So I've had a hard time trying to figure out what to supplement that as, or like, you know, how to take that out and move that feeling and thought to something else.
Okay. So you got a couple of things going here. First, it's like even thinking that you need a reward, right? For just doing your job every day. And that's kind of, you know, that's some work to do around, right? But then, I mean, kind of on your way there, what could be some other rewards or just some, I mean, what does bring you joy outside of food?
Yeah, well, actually, something that I'm doing today is, since I've done so many lives and calls and so forth, I'm treating myself by going to a yin yoga class in an hour. So because so much of me is like being on, this allows me to kind of de-stress. That's one of the big ones. Walking is a huge one for me. I love walking, like anything slower, since so much of my business is like being on, being fast paced.
Well, what about just like literally sitting on the couch and watching a TV show?
Oh, I do that so often. I didn't know that was a reward.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, it doesn't even have to be something that is
like a big event,
like good for, or good for your body, you know, good for okay. your body, or, you know, even like, you know, a manicure, pedicure, or whatever. I mean, this, it's kind of expanding your mind to think about different ways of self-care. And some, and I mean, it may just be that, like, you just want a break from, like, you want a, I was actually coaching somebody earlier on Ask Coaches, I think, about this, where it's just like, they want a brain break. And mm-hmm. that's okay to do that. I mean, you know, especially when y'all are first starting out and you're just getting all this awareness, and it is exhausting. But, and it's okay to take a break from all that thinking. You just don't want it to be with food, or you yeah. don't want it to be with something that is going to give you negative consequences. So like food, like, you know, Facebooking when you're supposed to be working, or, you know, but I mean, if you, you know, if you want to give yourself a, you know, 30 minutes or an hour of Facebook, just to zone out on Facebook or a TV show or whatever, that's totally fine. Because again, as long as it doesn't, as long as you're not supposed to be doing something else during that time, you know, as long as it doesn't produce those negative consequences. So yeah. What else? Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think what was coming up for that was I was trying to make the next supplement be like something big, like, right. You know, a class or a, like something bigger. And I don't know why, maybe because it's so routine, like at night I watch TV. Like that's something that I give back to myself. I watch usually an episode of How I Met Your Mother before I fall asleep because it helps me get tired. Yeah. But I never thought of that as a reward. I thought of it more as like normal. That makes sense.
Right. Yeah. So it's like, it can be. I mean, it's just, sometimes you just need a break, you know? Yeah. And I think when we get, again, when we get all of this awareness and we get into this program, we think, oh, we just need to be on, you know, all the time. And we need to, you know, be doing, you know, good things for ourselves all the time. But sometimes just a break, just sitting on the couch and doing nothing, or watching a show, or, you know, doing a hobby or whatever, reading a book, mm-hmm. you know, looking at a magazine or whatever, then that's perfectly fine. And that's, and if, especially if that's something that you're going to look forward to, you know, throughout the day, that, you know, as opposed to food. So yeah, just kind of open up your mind to like, okay, what would be a really great thing for me to be able to look forward to after a day, you know, day of calls where I could just take a break. You know, sometimes I could do a class or whatever, but it's just like, maybe I want to like lay on the couch and put my headphones in and just listen to music or, you know, something like that. Just, you know, really kind of expand your mind on that.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay. So yeah, it's like, I mean, it's almost like it can be, you know, I deserve it. I mean, you can still have that thought or like, mm-hmm. I just need a break, right? It's, yeah. You know, it's this deserve thing that can really kind of, you know, again, going back to that, that's the other part of the work where it's like, you know, no, I just work today mm-hmm. and I get a paycheck for that. So it's not like I deserve a break. I just am giving myself, you know, a break. I've been on calls. I've had, you know, I've been on all day. So I just need a break. I need a break is a, you know, kind of a better thought to practice. And okay. So, that's, you know, again, that's what, and this is for everybody, like, we use food for that break when we don't have to. It can just be, you know, just not doing anything and zoning out in a different way. But so many of us zone out with the food.
Yeah, I definitely noticed there's one day when I actually did the 24-hour plan, wrote it and followed it. And it was the first time I had in a while. And I felt this like discomfort, like at the end of the night, because like my body knew or like could, it felt like it wanted chocolate or wanted this. And I tried to just sit in that. And I think that's been one of the biggest parts is I've been trying to avoid that, just like sitting in it. So I think that's also a big part too, is like the deserving part, because it's so ingrained in like what I used to do, that when I do just sit there and relax, I can feel that like discomfort coming. I think I just have to allow it to come out.
Yes. And that's totally it. That's such a good point, because I've been practicing this myself where it's like, you know, since I've started working from home for PNP, mm-hmm. and it's like, okay, I'm going to take a break from, you know, 3 to 4 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to go and, you know, sit and watch TV. And it is uncomfortable. You know, it's like, wait a minute, I need to be doing something. I need to, you know, how can I just sit here and just take a break? But that just comes with practice to just mm-hmm. sit and, you know, and sit with a discomfort, but know that you're just practicing taking a break. It's just like Emmy, and you're practicing not eating too.
Yeah.
So it's all these habits that you've just, you know, you've been reinforcing for so long that you're working on changing. So it will be uncomfortable for a little while, but over time you'll get to where it's like, ooh, okay, it's almost break time. I get to just, you know, do whatever I want to do for an hour. And that, you know, unless you're hungry or whatever, then that, you know, it won't involve your Reese's.
Yeah. And something I've been trying to get better at too, is just not looking at TV when I eat. Cause I think that's been easy to like feel the 2 and 2. Yes. If I have TV on, it's super hard to realize if I'm full or if I'm not full.
Yeah. I mean, to practice just eating undistracted is huge. I mean, it is very, you know, it sucks. Very new for a lot of us. It feels really kind of strange at first, but I mean, you learn real quick, you know, when you get to your +2, because you're not doing anything else but just, you know, listening to your body. So, so yeah, that's a really good thing to practice as well. So you're doing great.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Okay. Brain break. Yes. Oh, good, Kim. I'm glad this is helping you. Huh. I sound far away. Do I sound far away? That's weird. I changed the batteries in this microphone. So, okay, we'll keep going. Y'all just let me know if like you can't hear me at all. So, Abby. Oops. Let's see. Abby, are you there?
I am.
Hello, how are you?
I am well. How are you?
Good. I can't see you, but is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. I don't know why you can't see me, but yeah, I don't care. It's fine with me.
Okay. All right. So what's going on?
Well, I, kind of like the previous caller, I had to do quite a big TDL this morning on an overeat or a binge eat last night. Mm-hmm. And I really need to figure this out because this is the one thing that's keeping me from continuing further on my weight loss journey.
Okay.
So I've lost 53 pounds since July.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
I officially joined the tribe in September.
Yes.
Okay. And I write a plan every day. That's never an issue for me. I get my water in almost every day. I think maybe one out of every 2 months I don't get water in. I really dialed in, especially after the holidays, with eating to the 2 to 2. And I realized after losing that much weight, ooh, it doesn't take as much food, which didn't really like for a minute, but got over that pretty quickly. But the binge eating, it's less than it was. So that's good. That's progress. But so I did a model on it and my circumstance was evening.
Okay.
My thought was a brownie would taste good.
Mm-hmm.
My feeling was excited, but also stressed.
Okay.
My action was I ate the brownies, oh, and then a whole bunch more. And of course, the result is that I would gain weight.
Right. I want you to think about what was, because I think this is a whole different model, and this is where, this is kind of how it makes it, you know, how makes binge eating a little bit different. And I will tell you, this is something that I work on myself. What you said, a brownie would taste good. Did you just plan to eat one brownie?
Yes. Well, I didn't plan to eat any of it.
Well, did you go into the kitchen and think, I'll just have one brownie. That would taste good.
Yes.
Okay. So what happened after that one brownie? What thought did you have then?
I blew it. Another one's not really going to hurt because they were small.
Mm.
But, you know, the thing is, and I've gotten coaching on this before.
Mm-hmm.
It happens so fast that I know that that thought is an invitation to pause.
Right.
But I'm already shoving food down my gullet before I can pause. And I think it always happens in the evening. Not always. I think one time in the last 7 months have I had a binge like that during the day. It always happens when I'm alone. It's 99.9% of the time is happening in the evening. And I know that it's because I want to relax and just chill out. But my thought about that is I almost think that, and it's always sugar. It's not anything else. It's sugar. Mm-hmm. And I think that what's actually going on in my brain is I can feel when I get the sugar in my body, I literally can feel myself becoming drugged and numbed out. Mm-hmm. That's what sugar does for me. Mm-hmm. And I know when I stay away from it, I am so much better. Okay. If I don't eat the junk and I don't eat the sugary snacks and junk, you know, sugary junk food, you know, if I ate chips, I wouldn't have the same, it doesn't do the same thing to me.
Right. So you're totally aware of what's going on, your patterns.
Yep.
Why this happens, all of that kind of stuff. So you're totally aware of all that. So what's the problem with stopping it?
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we're going to figure it out, but I just kind of wanted to know what your thoughts are right now in terms of, you know, when it's totally clear what's happening, why can't you just stop? Why can't you just stop after one brownie or maybe even after two or three brownies?
Well, because once I've eaten the brownie or whatever it is, then my thought goes to, well, I screwed up. Mm-hmm. Fuck it. I just might as well eat whatever other crap is sitting around here.
Right. Yeah.
And that's not helpful. And I know that. And, you know, and I've listened to the coaching and to the calls and the things about, you know, you get to choose when you stop eating. You could choose at any point in time. Yeah. But and I know that that's true. I can. Mm-hmm. I'm not even asking myself the question. I am just shoving food in my mouth as quickly as I can. I swear it must be like what drug addicts feel. Just shove it in as fast as you can.
Well, I think you're shoving it in because you don't want to, you know, recognize those thoughts that you're having, because you're always having a thought before you you have an action. Always. It's a split second sometimes, but you hear some sort of voice and it's like, nope, I'm just going to eat, you know, I'm just going to keep eating. And the only way to work on this is to make yourself slow down and to hear the thoughts that are coming in and to feel the feeling, you know, feel the excitement, the stress over it and all of that. And just, I mean, not just, because this is not easy to do. I know from experience that you've got to just practice stopping at some point. And
I
really feel that intense discomfort.
And I have been able to do that a couple of times. So that has been really good. And I've been, you know, pretty proud of myself for being able to do that a couple of times. So what do you do when you're sitting there? And I know that's the worst thing that can happen. But the anxiety and the stress and I know that all of that will go away if I just get the sugar. But I know that that's not what I really want.
But it will also go away if you don't give it sugar, right? It eventually goes away.
Yeah, but it takes so long.
And you're here today to, you know, to prove that, right? To, you know, it's just... I mean, it's that kind of net, it's that kind of those positive consequences I was talking about, where it's like, okay, you can eat the brownies and feel crappy, or you cannot eat the brownies and feel crappy. Which crappy do you want? Because it's going to be, there's some crappiness involved in either scenario. I would rather choose the crappy that doesn't result in weight gain.
You're
still looking for a way out of, you know, a way to not feel crappy at all.
That's exactly what it is. That is exactly what I'm looking for, is a way to not feel crappy.
Right, right. And it is going to feel crappy. I mean, I'm years into this now. And it's just like, but that is just part of the deal. That is part of life, is crappiness, right? And it's like we work so hard to avoid all this crappy, but then we just choose the other crappy instead. So it's just choose your crappy and lose weight in the process.
Yeah.
And like you said, you've done it and you've survived.
Yeah, I have.
And when I feel that coming on, you know, when I feel that discomfort, I think I've had enough time where I now just kind of welcome it in, you know, like the urge or whatever it is. It's just like, oh, that's just an urge. Okay. You know, that's going to happen. I'm human. I'm normal. You know, I'll literally just be sitting there not thinking about anything. And then a pizza commercial comes on and I'm like, oh my gosh, that looks good. And then they have those, you know, that dessert that goes with it and all this stuff. And it's like, oh my gosh. And it's, I'm like, yep, that's what's supposed to happen. That's my brain working the way it's supposed to. But I don't, you know, I don't give my, you know, give it any more time than that. And then I just, you know, go on with my day. I mean, you can kind of distract yourself, but that only kind of works for so long. I mean, you've just got to sit with it, breathe, just get really curious about how it feels in your body, and just know that you're going to come out the other side and it's going to be okay. And again, it was crappy, but when you're out the other side, it feels pretty good that you chose that instead of, you know, that hit, because it really is a hit that you're choosing.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. It's very temporary, you know?
And yeah, it is.
And then the crappiness sets in for a whole lot longer than the urge, right? Because, I mean, you know, we've been overweight for years, and it's like, that's, you know, that's years long crappiness. Why don't we just, you know, deal with these urges that are just crappy for a short amount of time? And they do get, you know, they get easier, and they get, with practice, they get less crappy, but they don't ever, you know, just totally go away.
But, well, and I need to release it and do this and feel, you know, feel crappy, feel shitty, feel anxious, feel whatever it is. Let it be done, because I don't want to not be able to watch TV at night for the rest of my life.
Right.
You know, I don't want to not be scared or afraid to be alone by myself at night with the kids in bed and my husband out of town and whatever. It's like a big free for all, like, you know, ooh, nobody's watching. Well, God, that's not helpful.
Right.
But this is for the rest of my life, and I got to figure this out. So if I have to, I'm not going to like it.
Yeah, you're not going to like it, but you're going to like the results ultimately, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you're going to like long term. And so it's just that temporary discomfort for long term results. Or you can have the temporary fix for long-term, you know, no results. It's like, well, you choose your temporary, because, I mean, they're both temporary.
And I think that's going to be my new motto, choose your crappy.
Yes.
I might juice it up a little bit in Corinne speak, but okay, so that's really what I have to do.
Let me know what you come up with.
All right. Thank you so much, Betsy.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Okay, bye. Okay. Y'all, I'm going to go ahead and turn this off and see if it's better. I don't really like wearing this thing anyway. Is that better? Is this better? Does this sound better than with my microphone? About the same. Let me just kind of get close. Oh, maybe I'm covering up my speakers over here with all my junk. Let me see if that's any better. I don't even know where my speakers are. It's the same, bit better. Okay. Well, we'll go with that. All right. Let me just see if there were any comments here. I'm so glad this is helpful. You could apply the same question we ask ourselves when making a plan. Is this something I want to do the rest of my life? Exactly. Okay, some people say I've sounded good the whole time. Others say I'm quieter than the caller. So we'll figure it out. All right, Rochelle. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Can you see me?
No, you're pretty dark. I see, like, is it, you're in the car?
Yeah, let me turn the light on.
There you
better?
Are.
Better?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Now, you've been around for a while, right?
I have.
Yes.
About 2 years.
I've been wanting to meet you. How are you doing?
Yeah. I'm good. I'll be at camp by April.
In April. Okay. Awesome. Yep. I will see you in person.
Yep.
So. Okay. What's going on?
Well, I'm stuck.
Okay.
I've been maintaining basically for the last year. Been gaining and losing the last 5 pounds for about a year.
Okay.
And it's getting on my nerves.
Okay. So what are the actions that have created that result for you?
I do a lot of overeating at night. Mm-hmm. And I keep getting this. I only get hungry once a day. Mm-hmm. And my mind keeps telling me, well, that can't be right. Mm-hmm. Nobody eats just once a day. So when it gets late at night, I call myself having a snack, and the snack turns into a full-on binge.
And you're not physically hungry at night?
No, I don't think so. I might have a little twinge, but nowhere near like a -2 or anything.
Okay. So when do you eat your meal then, usually?
Usually I'll have my first meal about 11 o'clock, 11:30. Mm-hmm. And then I really don't get hungry again the rest of the day.
Okay. So let's just kind of work on that first, because that sounds like that's kind of might be the root, you know, of everything, where it's you're thinking, let's figure out what you're thinking. So one meal a day.
Yep.
Now, have you heard that, I think even Corinne may have answered that question last night on the Q&A. Somebody said, you know, and I know I've answered it several times in Ask Coaches, where some folks just are just hungry for one meal a day. And that's, you know, the science and everything tells you that that is perfectly fine. As long as you're listening to your body, there's the old science of, you know, you need to have these small meals all during the day, or you're going to mess up your metabolism. All of that is, I think
that's where my mind is stuck.
Right. Right. And so, and if you need to, you know, if you need to read some of that science, you know, just Google it or whatever, but it's not true, proven, you know, true anymore, where it's just,
okay.
You know, I mean, I think that for you, that might be good just to kind of read some factual information about that. And
okay.
Actually you could just post in the group probably. I bet some people would know some good sources for that information, but yeah, that's been totally proven.
So that's not unusual.
No, it's not. It's not. I would even just post in the group, who else eats just one meal a day? And I bet you get a lot of good, responses and support, and even like, you know, y'all could talk about, you know, kind of your thoughts around that, you know, in terms of, you know, do you think you're, you know, broken? Do you think you're weird? Do you think, you know, how do you think about that? You know, or do you think you're fine with that? Because again, you know, I think you're fine because you're listening to your body.
And, right.
And you're giving it what it needs when it tells you, you know, what it needs. So your thought right now is what about having one meal a day?
This can't be right.
It can't be right. Okay.
It's not fair. That's come up too.
Ah, because you want to eat more food.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. It's not fair. Okay. So how do you feel when you think those thoughts?
Well, it's not fair. It makes me feel like entitled. Like I should be able to eat more than one time a day.
Okay. And so that leads you to overeat.
Right.
Past your two.
Right.
Because another thing actually that Corinne answered last night is even if you get a little hungry right before you go to bed, I mean, you know, you can absolutely eat, you know, someone can eat right before they go to bed, or you can go to bed a little bit hungry, and there's nothing wrong with that, because then while you're sleeping, your body is feeding, you know, feeding on its own fat. So,
right.
So that's, you know, that's definitely something else to kind of remember, but yeah. So,
I've tried going to bed hungry, mm-hmm. and my mind starts going, mm-hmm. Oh, just go get something small, or it's almost like my stomach, like the hunger signals get stronger. I don't know if that's my mind playing tricks on me, yeah. or if it's actually happening, or.
And that's something that, you know, it's just all of this, right, is like just a habit that you've reinforced over and over again. Like you have
right.
thought, you know, it's not necessarily a lot of physical hunger. It's the mental hunger. It's the, you know, oh, let's just go have a little something. You know, you haven't eaten all that much today anyway. And it's all that
yep.
justifications.
That so can't be enough food. That's come food. Up.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm going to, you know, slow down my metabolism or whatever. And those are all right. just thoughts. Those are all just thoughts you're having. That's not, again, it's kind of the mental hunger and not the physical hunger. So,
right.
And so you're not losing weight. It sounds like you're just kind of staying around the same.
Yeah, I'm basically maintaining.
Okay.
Because I've lost total 48 pounds.
Okay.
But so in the last year, I haven't been able to move the needle much.
Okay. And so you yeah. think it's really this issue?
Just this yeah, that's one of the many issues. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I
so okay. I mean, just eating when I'm not hungry. Yeah, that's because my other basics. I sleep well. Well, I don't get all my water in, but I sleep well, and I plan every day, and mm-hmm. I assess myself every day. But when at the assessment, I always have to give myself like a D, or you know, or lower because I end up overeating at the end of the day.
Okay.
Yeah.
So after what we've talked about, what do you think you could practice when you hear, you know, at the end of the night when you've had just one meal, what do you think you could kind of practice thinking that would not lead you to overeating?
Well, I'm going to do some research and mm-hmm. read some articles
yeah.
because I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to do some research, and I could probably come up with some good thoughts just from yeah. doing some research. So,
right. Yeah. Because again, you are not the only one in the tribe. So yeah, definitely just reach out for some, you know, to some folks, but okay. it's just like, it's so funny because like you're, you know, we've got the same circumstance, right? And like, if I were to do this model, I would think, oh my gosh, like I'm going to save money. I don't have to spend all this time cooking or eating. And I mean, so that's what's so powerful about the model, right? It's like, it's totally all your thoughts about it. because I would see this as something very, like, very positive and very, you know, I mean, I'm at that place right now. I don't know, you know, it's just, we're all at different places, you know, but right. It's just, it's so interesting that I would have a totally different thought about it.
Right.
You know,
and so most women would like to only be hungry once a day.
Right. Right.
So
yeah, yeah. It's like, you know, I got other things I want to worry about, you know, that's me, where it's just, you know, I'm kind of on to, you know, to other things. And so it's, yeah, but it's like, because I can have a totally different thought about it, that means you can too.
Right.
Right. Because, you know, we choose our thoughts no matter what. So,
yeah.
Sherry said in the comments, it says, I like eating once a day, a lot of days too, but later in the day. Yeah. She says she drinks her coffee in the morning and then she has her first meal around 2 or 3. So,
yeah, I do the butter coffee in the morning and then I get hungry about 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
And that's usually it. Yeah.
But also, I mean, you know, if you think you might get a little hungry in the evening, I mean, plan a snack in the evening. And if you're truly physically hungry at your -2, then eat that snack. I mean, that may help too, just in terms of getting some of the chatter out of your head on some days where it's like, oh, well, I didn't plan anything. And so now I'm going to have an, you know, I'm going to have an overeat. But if it's on your plan, you could put it on your plan every day. And then it would just be available to you if you were at a true -2.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's kind of another strategy where it's like, you know, you wouldn't have that, that chatter about, you know, going off your plan. If it was there for you when you needed it, that snack.
I usually plan a full day of meals.
Yeah.
Just in case, you know, I might get hungry. But it just usually doesn't happen too often.
And you can just keep doing that if you want to. I mean, you know, because that's the power of the plan. It's like, you know, you want to have enough food on there.
Right.
You can always choose whether you eat it or not. And you're not, I mean, and for newbies, a lot of times that gets confusing. It's like, if you don't eat everything on your plan, that's not going off plan. That's just, you know, making choices in the moment. That's following your hunger scale. So, So, you know, keep doing that in terms of just having food available to you, but only if you are at your true -2.
Right. I think I'm going to have to find my -2 again because I've been eating when I'm not hungry. Right. So and I'm going to have to.
You know, it's amazing how these habits come back pretty quick, right? Yeah. Where it's like,
oh, yeah. Oh.
And so, it's good timing because we're going to be doing the hunger scale challenge all next week. And
okay.
So, every day we're going to have a different challenge. So you'll be able to work on dialing in your -2 next week for sure.
Okay.
But for you, it's just kind of waiting and to see, you know.
Another thought that I've been having is I work out 3 nights a week and I have the thoughts after my workout, oh, I just worked out. It's okay if I have a little something. I'll probably just burn it off anyway. So yeah, that's been coming up too.
That's, you know, like, old science too. Well, I mean, you know, there's old science there where it's like, you know, you either need to eat before or after a workout, and none of that is really true anymore. None of that is real relevant anymore. I mean, it's just, you literally listen to your body and it will tell you.
So it sounds like I got a lot of diet rules still stuck in my head.
Diet rules going on. Yeah. And so it's really good for you to just write those all down on one piece of paper. Just like, what are the diet rules I still have in my head? And just so you can see them on paper and question them, you know, question each one of them and say, you know, how do I know this is true? Is this backed by science? Is this just something I've been thinking, you know, for a long time? And so I just think that it's true when I really don't have any proof that it's true.
Well, I've been dieting for so long that it's hard to release some of that stuff. Yeah. So. Yeah.
But
and me being in the tribe for so long, I mean, I should know better by now.
Well, but that's not a good thought, right?
No, it's not. But
it's just like, you're right where you need to be. You're right where you need to be in terms of, it's just, you weren't ready for that yet. It just, you know, everything that you learned so far, everything that you went through so far, I mean, what if you thought, okay, I needed to maintain my weight for a year to figure out how to maintain, and now I'm ready to figure out how to lose some more. And so, like, your journey could be exactly what it is if you just decided that it was.
Okay.
Yeah. So, so work on that. And then, you know, you can always post and ask coaches, or, but I want you to reach out to the group too and see if you can talk to some other folks who have, actually, there's a couple people here who, a couple people on here who posted that they only eat once a day. So,
okay.
So yeah, there's a bunch of y'all.
So okay.
Get some support in the group too.
All right. Thanks, all right. Betsy.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Trying to get everybody's name down here at least. Let me put in my book over here so I can. Oh, oh gosh. Let's knock coffee over. That would have been bad. Okay. Let's see. Hey.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Good to see your face. How's it going?
I know. Well, you know me. Been around for 2 years, so time to actually buckle down and see where I'm at on this journey of mine. So
okay, let's do it.
So I've been following my 24-hour plan and assessing it and doing it 100% for the past 8 days.
Okay.
And I'm trying to decide. I know I've heard before white knuckling. You're not supposed to white knuckle. You're supposed to work through the thing, through the urges and all that. It's just sitting through the urges part of that, or is that called white knuckling? I mean, what's the difference?
Okay, so before I forget, there is a unit in the No BS in the Success Path called white knuckling versus allowing urges. I think that's what it's called. But yeah, we call it, I mean, you can call it allowing, you can call it sitting with them, but it is and it's almost like when you first start to practice it, you kind of go back and forth between white knuckling and allowing, because it's not like you can just turn off the white knuckling, you know, just all of a sudden like a switch. But it's just like when you feel the urge coming on and you feel that urge to white knuckle, then you can even make a list to ask yourself. I mean, you can just write about it. That's one way to just kind of allow it, right?
Which is what I've been doing, yeah.
Yeah, and just, you know, get real curious about it in terms of, like, what you're thinking, how you're feeling, how it feels in your body, you know, breathing, kind of deep breathing, that kind of stuff. And it's just kind of whatever works for you in terms of allowing it where there's not that resistance. Because there's actually four... I hope I remember all four. There's four ways to handle an urge. There's a really good podcast by Rachel Hart. She focuses on drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's called Take a Break from Drinking is the podcast. She's another coach from the certified through the Life Coach School. But you know, you can just insert food where she talks about alcohol. So there's four ways to handle an urge. You can resist it. Or allow it, avoid it, or distract yourself. I did remember all four. So, because I think avoiding and distracting are two different things. So, yeah, it's like, you know, you want to allow it. So, yeah, so that's just a really good podcast to listen to, that episode. But, yeah, so it's... So kind of, you know, avoiding it or distracting yourself with something else is really not allowing it, because you're not just sitting with the thoughts and the feelings and the discomfort.
Okay. So like at night when I want to overeat and stuff like that, and I sit with it for a while, then I go and get me a cup of hot tea.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like entering it with a different problem.
That's more like distracting it. Yeah.
Okay.
Because, you know, you're still... You know, but it's like, it's not like you shouldn't do that, or it's not like you're, you know, it still results in you, you know, not overeating. And so it's like, you know, I put that in the win column, but it's like, there's going to come a time where you're not gonna, you know, you're just not going to be somewhere where you can distract, you know, yourself in any way. And so you just want to practice like, I can handle this wherever I am, whatever I'm doing. If, you know, if I don't have anything else to do, I can handle just sitting with this discomfort. And it's, you know, it's kind of, again, being real curious in your body, but also coming up with some thoughts and stuff. And I was talking about this earlier where it's like, oh yeah, that's, you know, that's just an urge. Yep. It's, you know, that's supposed to be happening, you know, or like, you know, there it is. I just try to kind of get real neutral about it. Just, you know, and this is over, this is practice over a, you know, long period of time, but it's just like, yep, that's just an urge.
And that's what I've been doing is kind of sitting through it and everything. And then when it's passed, then I'll go get my cup of tea because previously when I was doing it, I would get the cup of tea immediately. And then when it got to be summertime, you don't want a cup of hot tea when it's 110 outside.
No, it's too hot. So,
and then I started back up with the eating and the drinking again. So I'm like, okay, time to figure out the right way to do it this time.
Yeah. And it's like I said, it's like the cup of tea is, you know, kind of a tool right now. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, you eventually want to get to where it's like, you don't need anything else, but you just, you and your brain, you know, to just get through the urge and not even to describe it as getting through it, just to allow it. I kind of like that word the best, but whatever works for you in terms of, you know, handling it.
But for allowing it, this hours, minutes.
Oh, it can be, you know, it can be a few seconds and it can be, I mean, especially at the beginning, it could be a few, you know, it could be a few hours. It could be, you know, all day off and on, you know?
Yeah.
But again, over time with practice,
it gets easier.
But it's never like, you know, the work never ends. And so always, you know, I'll respond to an urge, you know, every once in a while. You know, it's just like the work never ends, but that's the way it's supposed to be. You know, it's never supposed to be all figured out. It's not what we were, you know, evolved as humans to do. We were evolved to, you know, live,
keep practicing
out and, you know, feel our feelings and,
mm-hmm.
you know, struggle and figure stuff out, you know, so.
And how do you know when your body says it's done and it's in maintenance versus where you want the scale to be and you want to be in maintenance?
Well, that's definitely an individual question.
Okay.
That's almost something that I don't think too much about.
Okay.
You know, because I don't know if Corinne or if I was coaching somebody, I think I was coaching somebody and I was like, what if scales didn't exist and like you didn't identify yourself with a number and you just, you know, like you knew you felt good. You knew you liked what you, you know, how you looked in the mirror. You knew you liked how your clothes fit and that kind of stuff. And you just like kept doing what you were doing. I just truly believe that our bodies just know where they want to be. And I really don't, like, I'm the kind of person where like, I want some science. I want some facts. But when it comes to that, I just kind of trust my body. And then it's like, you know what? I'm just not gonna think about this anymore. You know, I'm gonna, you know, you can always set a weight goal. And then when you get there, if you get there, you can reassess at that point and then decide, you know, but again, I just still think your body is just going to level out where it wants to be.
Yeah. Cause I'm like the last caller. I lost my first 10 pounds the first year I was in PNP. Last year, I kind of skated, then kind of up and down. And so I'm like, okay, 2009, I want to lose, or 2019, I want to lose those last 10. But then I'm like, is my body done? Or can I lose the last 10 and play around in that 5 pound mark, you know, where it might be comfortable? Do I keep?
Well, but, you know, it sounds like, you know, it's not even really an issue of where your body's going to settle out because, I mean, you're still doing some overeating, right? And you're still doing.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, you don't even really, it's not even really an issue yet until you get most of that stuff dialed in. And then, you know, as your weight goes down, it's like, okay, you know, I really don't overeat very often anymore, and I'm just going to let my body, you know, kind of settle in where it wants to be. But it sounds like, you know, you've got some work still to, you know, before you get there. So I just go back to, it's like, there are some things that just, I don't want to spend my mental energy on, because if it becomes an issue, I'll deal with it then. But until then, I'm just going to trust my body and let it do what it needs to do and what it wants to do. And I believe that it was built to, you know, to take care of us and to, you know, for us to, I don't know. I'm just, yeah.
Awesome. Well, I think that helps, because I was struggling with the white knuckling. Am I doing it right? Am I like pacifying it with the tea, or right, what I need to do differently type things? So I think that helped out quite a bit.
Yeah. And it's like, I read something the other day where it's like, okay, if you're feeling a lot of discomfort, you're doing it right.
Oh yeah. These last 8 days.
Yeah. And for a lot of our newbies and stuff, I mean, they, you know, your brain just goes crazy and thinks this can't be right to, you know, feel all this stuff and think all this stuff, but
yeah,
that you're just right where you need to be. Right where you need.
Awesome.
Okay. All right.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Good to see you. All right.
Good seeing you. Bye.
All right. We got a little bit more time, y'all. Who else wants to get coached? I'll raise your hand. Let me see. There was a question here. Oh yeah, she said she's experiencing heartburn with the brain octane. That would be a great thing to post about in the group, Amanda. I have not had any issues with heartburn. I mean, I don't have any general issues anyway with heartburn, but my issue with brain octane was that I started too much too soon. And I think Corinne likes to call that disaster pants. So I definitely had some disaster pants from the brain octane when I first started using it. And y'all, I was literally using 1 teaspoon a day. And now I'm up to a tablespoon now that I'm used to it, but it was a rude awakening at first. So yeah, so I would, it definitely could be, you know, it could be the brain octane for sure. So, so yeah, I would post in the group about that. What's so great about our group is we have enough members now where somebody else is experiencing what you are experiencing probably. Okay, looks like we have another hand raised. I think it's got to get your name right. Hello? Let's see. I can't hear you. Are you on mute? Yes, I unmuted you, so you're unmuted on my side. Maybe if you do the, can you take out the headphones, maybe? Unplug the headphones, see if maybe that works. No? Go back through. I'm gonna take you back to attendee, but see if you can go in and check your settings on Zoom. Okay. And then just raise your hand again. Whew. Stacy says she's having the same issue, coffee in the AM and only eating once a day. It freaks me out. I'm not hungry and feel bad about it. Okay. Stacy, I want you to identify why it freaks you out, why you feel bad about it. And is it, you know, similar thoughts that Rochelle was having about, you know, this isn't fair, or I'm somehow, you know, broken, or, you know, I want you to definitely do some writing on that in terms of, you know, your thoughts around that. Because like I said, the science tells you you're fine, you know, that it's not going to hurt you any to just eat one meal a day. So yeah, and the coffee is like a meal for sure. Yeah. I mean, really, that is true. I mean, you could totally see like your coffee as a meal. And so you're eating, you know, and then you have one meal, like you're eating two meals. I do the coffee in the morning and then I eat two more meals. So yeah, with the coffee, it's like two meals. You could totally see it like that. Old diet rules for sure. Yeah. I would love to just see a big old list of some old crazy diet rules. I mean, like, let's just get them all out there, right? Because it's just, it's so interesting to see. I'm sort of happy about it. Be happy about it, Stacy. Like I said, I'd be happy about it if I only got hungry once a day. It's just, you know, less food to mess with, less, you know, less time to eat and all that kind of stuff. Okay, Christy, let's get you up here. Hey, hey, what's up?
Hey, I was at the 2-day camp. I don't know if you remember. Yes. MJ was just on the phone. She's like, Betsy's asking for people. And I think she just hung up. But no, and actually this was something that I literally just took my makeup off and brushed my teeth. When I was there, I was struggling. I had just gotten my cousin's son.
Yes, I remember. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I left camp like all kumbaya and life was good. And actually, I had just pulled out my notes from camp to go over it. But I am struggling. And here I go. Yeah. I just told MJ, I was like, I'm not anymore. I don't know if I can really get into it. But with just dealing with, I'm just angry. Mm. At his mom. I feel like we will be rocking and rolling and life is going on. And, you know, then all of a sudden, you know, we hadn't heard from her and like since before Christmas. And then yesterday, you know, she pops up and now she's wanting to come to basketball and like everything's normal. And then acts all offended. Like if I'm not, you know, embracing her to come and hang out with us. And, but I mean, I get really angry to where, like, I say really bad things that I wish would happen to her. And I'm just kind of, and that's what I'm trying to remember, like, what I had learned at camp. Because like I said, I came back feeling pretty good about it. But now I'm back to, honestly, yeah, just, it's just pretty shitty. Like, there's a lot of anger.
Yeah. And I definitely want to work with you on this, but this is good for everybody to hear. Like, you know, it's not just a matter of getting like, you know, going to the 2-day or going to camp or going, you know, or getting coached on a call like this. You actually have to like live what we talked about. Right. And, you know, and it's easy to just kind of come off the high of getting coached, you know, in whatever kind of format. And then, but then the real work begins. And so what did you kind of, what, I remember us talking about this. I remember you talking about, you know, your anger and what did you kind of take away from that?
Well, you know, one of the things that, you know, Corinne had talked about was like rewriting their past.
Right.
And, you know, and on an intellectual level, I understand like why my cousin may have turned out to be this way. But I think because I deal with the day to day repercussions of what they have done, you know, how they neglected Stan, that I feel like I need to figure out how to come to peace with like putting that aside and just kind of accepting her for who she is.
Well, and that's
kind of being neutral, like neutral. And that's what I talked about in my Marco Polo, like is how to become neutral mm-hmm. about like when she wants to pop in where I don't let it like take like, and it did like, it took over like last night. I could just feel me being, I wasn't myself even around Stan, just very, mm-hmm. she puts me on the defense because I don't know what she's going to, and I guess that's it because I don't know what she's going to say to him. Like she was supposedly going to rehab. She checked herself out and she's told him so much that a 9-year-old doesn't need to know that I'm always on pins and needles when she's around.
All of that is up in the sea, right?
Right.
So right. You've got anger here. So what's the thought that's going on there that causes the anger for you?
She's a piece of shit. She really is.
But, you know, that's just your thought.
I know. And that's what I keep. And I even talked to him about this. I'm like, we can choose our feelings and our thoughts. But I just, when it's my own shit, I can't figure it out. It seems like I'm like in it. And I know I need, like, I want to feel neutral. But I can't figure out what the thought is besides she's a piece of shit.
Okay.
Because she really is. But not getting me anywhere.
And just even you saying that out loud, no, but she really is. I mean, that's you wanting to put that in the C line.
Yep.
And, you know, it just doesn't help you any. So
no, it doesn't.
So, okay, let's see if we can get you to neutral here. And let's just use she called.
Okay.
You know, because I think that seems to be kind of the circumstance that, you know, that will happen every once in a while. I mean, you know, and she's going to call again, right? I mean, she's
right,
going
to, right. And that's why, yeah, I've got to get a grip.
She may, you know, disappear for a long time again, and she's going to call again. And so you want to, you know, you want to anticipate this happening, not to like worry about it or things like that, but just to be prepared for it and how you right. show up for it.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. So what did you, I know we came up with some good thoughts in that 2 days.
I know. And honestly, that's why I was like, I needed to dig it out.
Yeah. But it wasn't it something like, you know, she is his mom. She loves him. You know, she's being who she is.
Right. No, and honestly, and I know she does love him mm-hmm. the best that she's been able to. And maybe that is the thought I need to hold on to. And I just honestly, I couldn't remember anymore because it felt like time had gone by. And like I said, I came back from the halo of camp. And well, now that
but you also just may be in a different place now where, you know, a different thought might serve you better now.
And, right.
So it's just a matter of, you know, and doing some, you know, just do some writing about this whole situation if you haven't already, and you may find some other ones that come up. But I do think the exercise of kind of rewriting the past in terms of, I mean, it could literally be one sentence about, you know, like she did the best she could or whatever it is where you can just kind of put that past to bed in terms of how do you want to think about it? Because it's done, it's over with.
Right.
You know, and even like her calling yesterday or whenever that was, that's in the past now. And how do you want to think about that today, knowing that that happened and this kind of in preparation for the future too?
No, you're right.
Oh, I can't hear you.
Can you hear me?
No, there you go. Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, covered up.
Yeah, because I feel like I'm overreacting mm-hmm. to stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, you're choosing feelings that you don't want to feel, you know, and they're all based on your thoughts about her.
And I feel like I go to that angry place so quickly. It's almost, mm-hmm. it scares me.
Oh, I can't hear you very well
again. Oh, so maybe can you hear me now?
Yes, yeah. I think you had something over the speaker or something.
Sorry.
Yeah.
No, I was just saying it kind of scares me that I go to that angry place so quickly.
Yeah. Well, and, it's just a habit, right? I mean, don't beat yourself up about going there because you may always, like, go there first because you're having some kind of thought. I mean, it's just a pattern that in a habit that you've practiced and reinforced over and over again to go to that place. And so especially at first, but it may always happen where you go to that place first, but that's where we talk about like pausing the model here at the feeling line.
Uh-huh.
And so you could think she's a piece of shit, feel angry. I mean, it like in a split second that can happen. And then that's where you pause and go, nope, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not gonna, you know, I mean, And you may even let yourself think and feel that for a minute or for, you know, a few seconds. And then it's like, nope, what are we practicing now? We're practicing, you know, she's doing the best she can and I'm feeling, you know, neutral about it, or, you know, whatever you want to feel about it. So it's just like accepting that your brain, because it's been conditioned to go there for so long, don't think that that thought or feeling is just going to disappear.
Okay. No, that definitely helps.
Yeah.
And even the thought of that, yes, she does. She loves him.
I mean, it could just be that she loves him. I mean, do you want to feel neutral? Do you want to feel love?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I would much rather feel like he's got a group of people that do love him. And that is his mom at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And,
I love the statement. I mean, you're like, you know, you can always choose love. And it's, I think I remember now us talking about, like, you know, he has so many people that love him.
And he does. Yeah.
That are, you know, surrounded, you know, that surround him with love, including her. And that's a good thing, you know?
And right. Yeah.
That way, that she's coming from a place of love, just like you are, but she's just choosing to show her love in a different way than you would, or that you think, you know, she should.
No, and even now, like, I feel me going, but sometimes she's on meth, you know, but at the end of the day, she is doing the best that she can. And, yeah, I mean, I was going to make an appointment with my priest, but I was like, wait, I think I need to get coached first. Cause I'm just tired of feeling that, like, yeah. And it's funny, like I said, I was fine for a couple months and now it is back in full force. I wish I was coming to camp next week. Like,
well, but you really don't need it, you know?
No, you're right.
You know what?
I just got to practice.
It's just, yeah, it's that practice.
Yeah.
And it's that being okay with those other, you know, with those other thoughts and feelings being there. I kind of see it as like, they're always going to be there, but I'm working to kind of get them in the background and these new ones in the foreground of my head. And it's like, they're always going to be back there because they've just been there a long time and they're not
going
to just, you know, vacate. But eventually these new ones will kind of, you know, just move into the forefront and will be there more often than the other ones.
And I like even like how you put that, because sometimes I think, you know, I put pressure on myself. It's either yes, no, black, white. Right. That, yeah, maybe I just like the, it's not that I'm not going to get angry, but hopefully I won't stay there as long.
Right.
Or, yeah, and that, and eventually it will shift the more that I practice.
Well, and the other thing is, like, it's a really good practice just to be in the unintentional model for a while, you know, just to let yourself be angry, let yourself think all of this horrible stuff, write it down. And then, you know, maybe even do something like, you know, burn it or, you know, tear it up or something like that. That would just be kind of a thing where it's like, I let myself go here and I'm going to be okay with any thought or feeling that I have. Cause you don't ever want to have that resistance, you know, to your feelings, because if you resist it, it's like, oh, I shouldn't be feeling this way. I shouldn't be thinking this way. And it's like, it's all okay. But I mean, it comes down to the action line, really, in terms of, you know, you want to have a thought and feeling that results in an action that, you know, that you want. And so, so it's just, you know, it's just being okay with how, whatever's going on in your mind, but then choosing the thought, feeling, and action that you want to really, you know, live and act on.
No, thank you. No, it definitely okay. helps.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But go back to all those notes and stuff too.
Cause I am.
It'll come back to you really, you know, really quick. And even like somebody else, I know you had some folks in there that, you know, in your group that you talked to that, you know, you could kind of talk to them and see what they.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have my Marco Polo group.
Yeah. See what they remember from, you know, when you got coached. Because sometimes other people hear things that you don't hear when you're getting coached because, you know, you're just in the spotlight. So,
yes. And I think Cindy had taken notes for me. So, yeah, I have those in MJ. Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome. Liam, so.
Yeah. So, yeah. So you've got a good little group there that can support you as well. So, but just think about how you can come from that place of love always.
And that would be, I would prefer that.
Yes. I mean, again,
and a knife in the eyeball.
Love is always available to us. That's, you know, that's the good news for sure. So
awesome. All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Christy. Richards. Okay. All right, let's try you again. I think it's Kayla. See if we can hear you this time. All right. Hi. Oh no, I can't hear you. I still can't hear you. Oh, shoot. No. Let me mute. Unmute. No. I still can't hear you. You may want to try and just leave Zoom altogether and come back in. And see if we can get it done that way. And if nothing else, definitely put your question in the Q&A or in the chat, and I can read it there too. But we'll get it figured out. And then I want you to, if you need help with getting this figured out, email support@pmptribe.com, and we'll get you working. Okay. Yeah. And we've got enough of these coaching calls. We'll get you on here. Okay. All right. Okay, let me check out the Q&A here. I gave up diet soda pop as my usual beverage choice. Now, when I have one, I get really full from the carbonation. Is this normal? Yes, definitely. Carbonated beverages can definitely kind of give you a feeling of fullness because it's, you know, air, gas that you're ingesting. What I like to do, Kathy, is I'll do diet soda every once in a while, but I just like the carbonated water. And for some reason, the carbonated water even gets me more kind of full and a little bit bloated than diet soda. But anyway, I don't like to drink those with a meal because it gives me kind of a false, my hunger signals are weird if I'm drinking one of those with a meal. So I like to have those just like in the afternoon if I want one or whatever, and not with food, just because again, it'll kind of mess with my hunger scale and my hunger signals. Because again, you're just putting a lot of air in your body and, you know, you may, not eat enough, or it just may just kind of mess with your signals. Beth, realizing a lot of my eating is filling time, trying my best to stay busy and not go to the food. Is it okay to have a fruit late in the evening if I'm really feeling a negative two? If you're really feeling a negative two, Beth, you can eat whatever you plan. It's just all about following that hunger scale, right? But it sounds like other times you are not at a negative two and you are filling time with food. And so that's when you don't want to eat anything, right? And that's when you want to kind of figure out, okay, instead of eating, what do I need to be doing, you know, to fill this time in terms of, do I need to be working? Do I need to be just, you know, like I was talking about earlier, do I need to just give myself a break and just go kind of, you know, watch a TV show or look at Facebook for a specific amount of time? Anything that kind of won't result in negative consequences, ultimate negative consequences for you. So yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, again, you can have whatever you want if you're at a negative two, as long as it's planned and, you know, it's on your protocol. Can you be in several stages of weight loss at a time? Not really, Jackie. You're really usually at one at a time. And I need to kind of look back at those stages. I mean, I know stage one is just the excitement and everything is new and shiny. And then stage two is the river of misery, right? So, Jackie, if you want to post more kind of what you're experiencing, I could kind of let you know where you might be on the stages. Usually you're just at one at a time and you can go, and you don't ever like skip over a stage usually, but you can go like back, or you can go forward and back again, you know, back and forth, but you always like follow the order of the number, if that makes sense. So you're not ever skipping over a stage. Let's see what's in the chat here real quick. Okay, Kayla, let's try you one more time.
Can you hear me?
Yes! Did you figure it out?
I did. It took me a minute. Sorry about that.
That's all right. Well, what did you do? Can you tell us easily or?
Apparently, when I signed up for Zoom, I didn't check my privacy settings and hit on the microphone.
Okay.
So I had to go on my phone and do the settings.
Okay, perfect. Okay, good. Well, that's the, I'll be able to kind of tell people what they need to do if I run into this again. So, okay, what's going on?
Okay, so I'm going to try and be very clinical about this. The circumstance is my significant other had prostate cancer a few years ago and had his prostate removed. And then we started dating about 5 years after that. Mm-hmm. And in the boom, boom department, things were going okay. Mm-hmm. And then he had to go through radiation and we haven't been able to go back. Mm-hmm. At all. Mm-hmm. So it's been a number of months and I'm starting to stuff my, I'm starting to stuff my feelings because I'm afraid that it's not a medical issue, but a weight issue on my part.
Okay. So you're really making this mean something more than just radiation.
Yes.
In terms of.
Yes.
Okay. So let's just put radiation again. Are you brand new or?
I'm a September baby.
Okay. Okay. So you're pretty familiar with the model. So, how long has it been?
6 months maybe.
Okay. So, what is really your thought that's, or your feeling that's going on?
Oh, my feeling is that, that it's me that's the problem and not.
Me that's the problem. That's your thought. Okay. It's me that's the problem. So how does that feel?
Like I'm sitting in my dirty diaper.
Yeah. Pretty crappy, right? Speaking of crappy.
Yeah.
So, but what's a specific, like a one word feeling?
Ugly. I feel ugly.
Feel ugly. So that's really more of a that's another thought. So is it, I don't know. It could be a feeling. Let's go with that. So, and then your action is you're overeating.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And then your result.
Is no weight loss.
No weight loss. And you know, the result proves the thought true. And so,
and then it's
like you are the problem, right? It's like you're kind of creating more problems.
Yes.
Let me check my. Okay. So more problems. So have you talked to him?
I have.
About it?
Yes.
What?
Then he feels like it's, that I don't understand. And maybe I don't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We've known each other for a number of years before we started dating. But I do know that he would like to see me be healthy. He's a very, except for the cancer, he's a pretty healthy guy. Mm-hmm. You know, he goes to the gym, he works out, he's very attractive. Mm-hmm. And he'll tell you that he loves my heart. Like, how I care about people. We met in church. I'm friends with his family. I lead worship at our church, and for a long time, for a number of years, he was my piano player. Mm. So, you know, we have that same root base of our faith. Mm-hmm. But he would definitely like me not to overeat. So sometimes he, you know, notices that. And then, you know, because it's not just that the sex went away, it was just like the touching went away too. Like everything went away with the radiation. So
but is there any kind of physical issue at all with him in terms of?
Yeah, he would, medically speaking, he has to have a shot mm-hmm. in a very private area to mm-hmm. have sex.
Okay. But it is possible, and
it is possible
something that could, you know, that could happen. So yeah. Just to kind of get the sea really, you know, really clear in terms of kind of what the facts are, right? So it is, you know, it is physically possible for him.
Yes.
Okay. So it's really, so, you know, he can think and feel whatever he wants, right? In terms right. of, you know, saying that he wants you to, you know, to, I mean, is that really kind of what the issue is that he would like you to, he says, because again, I want to get real clear. I almost think that this is not really necessarily the issue, because again, it sounds like he's fine in that area. It's like what he has said to you and what you make that mean.
Yes, I guess it is what he said. I mean, he wants me to be as healthy as I possibly can. Mm-hmm. And right now I'm at 367 pounds. Mm-hmm. So it's a substantial amount, and he weighs like $150, $160 maybe, you know.
Okay, so really kind of, and I want you to, you know, when you're doing your journaling and your modeling, I mean, I want you to have a, like a direct quote.
Okay.
Just so it is not, you know, clouded in any way by your thoughts or anything. It's just, you know, exactly what he said. And again, just so it'll just be very factual and you, so is the thought the same?
Yes.
In that?
That I'm the unicorn, that I'm broken and I can't fix mm-hmm. this.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's I'm broken. Do you believe that you're broken?
Yeah. Because I've been doing this. I've been working my plan since September. Mm-hmm. And I'm not making any headway. I'm trying really hard to, I've started doing when I first joined, I was great at listening to the podcast and taking notes, but I wasn't always doing my 24-hour plan. Mm-hmm. So for the last 21 days, I've done my 24-hour plan and I've done my assessments. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing my TDLs for my overeats, and I've been doing my recovery, worksheets too. Mm-hmm. For the last 21 days, but I'm still not losing any weight, and I've been slowly creeping up, and I'm just frustrated with myself because I know all my life this is what I've wanted to mm-hmm. fix this. I mean, originally I got heavy because I wanted to protect myself, and I thought if I was heavy, nobody would notice and I could be invisible. But I turned 50 this year, and I realized a couple years back that I don't like to be invisible. I don't need it anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm mature enough that I should be able to handle unwanted, you know, things and stuff. So, but the overeating was such a habit. It was such mm-hmm. a habit, yeah. You know.
Well, I think what I hear you saying is you know, is that you are broken because you talk about needing to fix yourself, right?
Right.
And you won't ever be successful with weight loss if you come from a place of, I need to be fixed because okay. I'm broken right now. And so, and this is what we do. I don't know. Have you gone through the self-love course?
I was trying to go through it, but I wasn't very successful at that.
Well, I want you to, I mean, and we've worked with other gals on this where it's like, it's not even about weight loss yet.
Okay.
Because you can't, we say, you know, you can't hate yourself on the way down with weight loss. You've got okay. to love yourself and accept yourself the way that you are. You know, where you're right, where you are right now, and thinking that you're broken and that you need to be fixed is just never going to get you to where you want to be. And like you, I mean, you've got the want, right? You want to lose weight.
Yes.
Got to come from a place of, you know, I love myself now and I'll love myself, you know, after I lose the weight. But, you know, I just want to be healthier. I want to, you know, feel better. I want to, you know, like the way that I, you know, look in the mirror and things like that. So it's really coming up with, you know, some things that you can kind of focus on, but it okay. has to start with the self-love right now today.
Okay.
So what comes up for you when I talk about that? Like just loving yourself as you are today. I mean, that is the best work that you will ever do in angst. Terms of beyond the weight loss.
Makes me anxious.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in my household, you know, if you loved yourself, you were being selfish and prideful. And so I'm not sure how to look at it that way, in a healthy way.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what this course can help you do.
Okay.
Because it talks a lot about that, you know, about your past, about what, you know, how you were raised and things like that. And that's all stuff that I want you to, you know, to write about, to get out on paper.
Okay.
You know, this story that you're living with from, you know, your childhood, basically. Right.
Right.
And, you know, just still living according to that story when you're an adult now and you can, you know, you can choose whatever story you want to now, right?
Okay, yeah.
So yeah, it's like it's, you know, and but also you'll have to do some work around, like, you know, if you're not going to focus on weight loss right now. You can definitely keep doing your 24-hour plan, doing what you've been doing.
Okay.
But it's like, you know, you're not going to make any significant headway
until
you do this kind of
the other work
that this, I call it, you know, kind of foundational work that can just be, yeah. Because I mean, if you're coming from a place of, you know, I'm not supposed to love myself because it's because of all these thoughts I'm having around it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's definitely where your work is right now. But if you've been making a plan and you've got that habit kind of forming,
yes,
keep going with it, because you know you don't want to have to kind of get that habit going again later. But just you don't have to and I mean, keep doing all the worksheets and everything too, you know, depending on your time and things like that, but the self-love course is the priority for sure.
Okay, so I'll start that again.
Yeah, start with that again, and then you can always get back on with us. You know, kind of have, like, let us know how it's going. Of course, you can always post in the group as well with, you know, any questions or ask coaches for sure. But just, you know, go through that course. There's, you know, there's workbooks, and then there's, you know, videos like calls that Corinne did. She did, like, she would teach a concept, and then she would coach a couple of people.
Okay.
So be sure and watch those for each of those modules.
Okay.
So that's where I want you to start now within your journey. And so,
okay.
Yeah. But just don't, you know, but all, like I said, do some work around, you know, don't be in a hurry to, you know, to lose your weight at this point. It's like, this is what you need to focus on. And then the weight loss will come. Okay.
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 Thank you.
So you got a plan. All right.
Thank you, Betsy.
All right. I'm glad we got you working. Anyway, bye.
Bye.
Okay. All right, y'all. I'm going to have to get out of here. Let me answer Jackie's question, and that'll be it, unfortunately, because I gotta get going. I have lost 50 pounds since February, most on autopilot with some good habits, but I have doubts about losing more while feeling excited about joining P&P Tribe. Yeah, so you're just kind of right at that kind of, you know, between one and two, I think, is, you know, you've still got that excitement, but you're kind of starting to have some doubts. And that's when, you know, kind of the shit gets real and you move into this river of misery. So you're kind of moving out of stage one and into stage two, because it's like, you know, it's kind of hard to have be super excited, but then also have doubts too. I mean, you can have both, but you're moving kind of out of one into two. So that it's awesome that you recognize it, that you, I want you to do some writing about all of your doubts in terms of, you know, what's coming up for you. Just write it all out in terms of what the thoughts are there. And, you know, really look at those and say, okay, is this true? Is this even true? You know, I mean, you've lost 50 pounds on autopilot with some good habits. You know how to lose weight, but what doubts are coming up? Like, I mean, it may just be like, well, I don't know if I can lose any more weight. Maybe this is all I can lose. Well, that's not true because you've lost 50 pounds. So really examine those doubts, and are they really backed by anything, you know, factual or anything that is, you know, really, really true, you know? And so, and then, you know, but also examine your excitement, right? What are you excited about with joining, and how can you kind of sustain that excitement and that, you know, curiosity and stuff like that, so that you could stay in stage one a little bit longer. But again, stage two is absolutely necessary. Those doubts are going to come in, those crappy thoughts are going to come in, but, you know, you want to stay in stage one for, you know, a while, but again, it's inevitable. That's why it's the four stages, because, you know, everyone's got to go through them to get to, you know, long-term, that stage four, where you're just, everything is on autopilot. I mean, and again, it almost sounds like you've kind of been there, but it's just, you've got to get back there, where stage four is just, you know, you're not having a lot of drama around your food. You're just steadily either losing or maintaining, and you're doing what you're doing. You might, you know, every once in a while you have a slip up or whatever, you process it, you move forward. So that's where we all ultimately want to get to. But again, if this excitement right now about joining is resulting in some weight loss for you, then, you know, keep that going for a little bit longer, but also examine those doubts. Okay. That's all I see in the Q&A, I think. Yes. Okay. All right, guys. Let me just look here in the chat real quick. Christy, let's see, Christy had some good support here. About anger and things like that. We are allowed to have all these angry, happy, sad feelings. We should need to write them out and maybe try to come to terms with them. Yeah, let's just feel all of our feelings and choose all of our feelings, right? All right, guys, I think that's all I've got. So I'm going to work on getting this up on the website. And I am getting up early in the morning and heading to Nashville for our retreat and our two-day coaching experience. And, but we are, not going to leave you all high and dry. So, Kathy and I will be, and then Mary Jo and I will be in the groups all weekend and, you know, checking in on y'all. Kathy is doing another office hours on Saturday afternoon. So that's still happening. And, yeah, but you know, definitely check the Facebook page. I'm sure we'll have some fun pictures about, you know, from our retreat. But I go back to just, I'll leave y'all with this. It's like, you know, retreats are fun. You get to meet people in person. You get to meet us in person and that kind of stuff. But your work to do is, you know, you don't ever have to do, you know, go to anything if you are just willing to do the work yourself, right? And to process your thoughts and feelings, to get into action when you feel overwhelmed and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that is what weight loss is about. So the rest of this stuff is just kind of fun, you know, fun stuff if you know, if you want to do it. So it's all about those four basics. So, all right, guys, I will, we'll see you all on the flip side. I think I maybe a week from tonight, maybe I will be back on office hours. And so, but I'll be back soon. So, all right, guys, see you later. Bye.